1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here today. We got a really special show.
We do. You should be super pumped to be here. I got to talk to our guests a little bit before the show.
If there's one thing that I can say about our guests today, they both have really good taste in men. I know that's kind of off color for me to say.
It is.
But it's true.
Yeah. I actually heard they have amazing husbands, and I'm just so excited to hear what they have to say.
Words that I would use to describe these new guests that we're just now meeting, to describe their husbands: handsome, virile, masculine, virtuous, I think would be good. Virtuous, they just look like amazing husbands and fathers with great, appropriately proportioned faces and bodies and all of that.
Wow. Well, I hope they can share some wisdom on us that maybe we can become that one day.
Oh, I would love to be.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, so our guests, for both of them, are returning.
Yeah.
We've got Angie and we've got Rachel here today in studio. Hello, ladies. Nice to have you guys on.
Hi.
No, we're very excited about this episode. I don't even know. I know it's about marriage something. What's this episode about?
Marriage is kind of like how one and one become one, which is the title of the episode.
Hey, wait a minute.
Or as I keep jokingly saying, how to riz up your wife. Because if you haven't figured out, I guess you can introduce who they are.
Oh, that's right. Angie and I have been married for the past 14 some odd years. And you guys beat us by how long? A year?
No, like 6 months.
6 months?
Because it'll be 15 in September.
Okay, yeah, we'll be 15 in April. So we got a little while. But we're going to dig into all things marriage-related and all of that stuff. But before we do any of that, we're gonna have to pray. Ladies, would one of you mind leading us in prayer? Do you want me to pick one?
We just threw them out there. They weren't ready. Yeah.
You're too nervous?
Yeah.
I'll do your great prayer.
I'm too nervous right now.
All right. Should I do it?
Rachel's got it. She's a big time pro.
Come on, show up.
Yeah.
Just put her on the spot. I don't really pray the way that conventional people pray.
Well, that's fine.
That's John Henry's favorite.
Unconventional prayers are totally allowed. Yeah.
Whenever. All right, sure. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us all together here in Dahlonega. Thank you for the hospitality of our hosts who are currently watching all of our children. That's 8 children all together, so that moms and dads can get a break to talk about marriage and hopefully help other married couples or people who are interested in being married one day. With some guidance and some great stories. Amen.
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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. That was good prayer.
I was told that this was because we were on it 2 years ago. We were both pregnant.
That's right. Oh.
And now it's been 2 years. We're both pregnant again.
Score. You're pregnant.
And so I thought that it was like that's what Janice said.
Okay. Well,
I don't remember what we talked about the first time. I think she just wanted us back.
Yeah.
But it's about something different this time.
I think we talked about kids the first time.
I think so, too.
Or motherhood.
I thought she wanted the whole panel back because we're actually all pregnant again.
I'll get
really?
Into it.
Yeah, there's two ladies.
Yeah.
Wait, who else was on it? Sarah? No last names.
And Maggie.
Oh, that Maggie. Yeah, that's cool. You guys are all pregnant
that's
again.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Are they really? All of those are pregnant?
Yeah.
Wow.
Everybody at St. John Bosco's, all the parents are pregnant. All the moms are pregnant. All the men.
I don't know.
A lot of them are.
There's a lot of pregnant ladies at church, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So I think a lot of it is how do we, some of the more difficult areas of marriage, and how do we work through those? And I know that Janice wanted a little bit more involvement from me. And so that's kind of, I think, where we're going with that.
Awesome. Yeah. I floated before. I just kind of want you to interview my wife. And I'll interview your wife. That'd be great. But before we do that, we have a script that we have to follow contractually. Right. So you guys each owe us some fun facts. We'll just do two apiece. Just two apiece. Is that fair, producer?
Oh, ma'am.
Yeah, two's fine. Yeah.
You want to do more, babe? Yeah. You can do more.
No. I'm not like a very fun person.
Incredibly fun
anymore.
Person.
Anymore.
I think you're fun.
Yeah. That's an insult to my buddy John Henry over here. He picked a great way.
I think you're very fun, babe.
Maybe not anything recent.
It doesn't have to be a fun fact about you either. It could just be a fun fact in general. It'd be better if it were about you because you haven't been on the show in 2 years.
Right, let's do one each and then we can circle back around.
All right. Let's start with you.
Can it be just about some
like anything, anything about
anything,
me?
Anything.
All right, I was on a precision jump rope team from third grade to ninth grade.
Cool. See, that's fun.
See, that is a fun fact.
Yeah. I don't know
anybody else who's ever done that.
But that was like forever ago.
So I
was
a chair rope.
I can. Yeah.
Do you still?
I can jump. Yeah, I can jump rope still.
Have you taught the girls?
No.
You should. That'd be fun. You all jump rope together.
But it was like single rope stuff where you did routines all together, like you did the same steps. And then we did stuff with long ropes too.
That's really cool.
Single long ropes, double Dutch ropes, all sorts of cool stuff. Triangles.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Triangles.
And it was a Christian team, so all of the music we used was Christian. It was not all the teams were like that.
So. That was before Maryland had fully slid down into the cesspool of debauchery.
Everybody on the team, it was also not Catholic. It was very Christian. Everybody was homeschooled. Except for I wasn't homeschooled and I was Catholic, so it was kind of weird.
Nice. All right, Rachel, what you got?
Mine's not going to be as cool as that. I was just going to say that we don't know the gender of our baby and we're going to be surprised at birth.
That's so cool.
You got three boys right now.
I have three boys.
I have, I know the gender of my baby. Yeah. It's my fifth daughter, which is great. Super excited about that. I am super excited. It's going to be fantastic. I would be lying if I said that I wasn't kind of hoping that I was going to get another boy in there, but it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure that you're subscribed to the show because then we will reveal what our gender is upon the birth.
We're actually going to
in the delivery room.
Yeah, we're going to live stream both births on Honest to God. We're only people who are subscribed, so if that's something you have any interest in,
maybe not.
Maybe if you want to live stream, watch my baby be born on live stream, you shouldn't subscribe. But regardless, just hit the subscribe button right now to be safe.
Yeah, definitely do that, please.
All right, Angie, you have another one?
I mean, it's not really a fun fact, just birth-related. I am having a home birth.
Yeah.
My third.
So it'll be baby number three born in the bathtub.
So it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Scares me to death, actually.
Assisted, not unassisted home birth.
Well, here's the issue with the home birth, right? I pay some woman to come over to my house as a midwife who knows what she's doing. And then she spends the entire time trying to get me involved. And I don't want to be involved. That's why I pay for money. I don't want to be there. I don't want to catch the baby. I want to go to the other room. And you handle that stuff. And last time they kept coming and being like, hey, it's almost time. Like, great. Cool. Just give me a heads up when the baby's here or if I need to rush us to the hospital.
Right.
And I have no idea what's going on, so I'm not really mad or anything.
Yeah, she's not mad. Everything's fine.
You're just sitting there with like your cigar and your bourbon.
No, we was washing the dishes last time.
I was cleaning the house because I have to do a thing. I can't just like sit still because I'm nervous.
Weird noises coming from.
Yeah, and this lady just keeps bothering me while I'm trying to clean the house.
Wow.
I can do nothing to assist. I can do nothing to help. Anyway, sorry.
It's like hiring a roofer, and then they keep coming in asking you to come on up there, carry out these shingles, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, isn't that why I paid you?
Don't you want to learn how to do this?
No, I don't. Like... I'm fine with it. Childbirth bothers me. Makes me...
Julian likes it, I think.
He wants
to catch the baby.
It's great.
I do. It was a lot of fun. All the births that we've been part of. I do. Yeah. My wife's giving me a look. I'm gonna.
This is a lot of fun.
I've had a lot of fun. I mean, we've brought.
He's laughing.
We may have brought wine into the birthing room so that after the birth, I can give her like a little bit of wine.
We should have done that because we had a New Year's Eve baby, like 11:30 at night. New Year's Eve.
What?
Why didn't we have champagne? That's what you could have done.
Next time.
That's a great idea. We're going to not have it. So as soon as you're in labor, I'm going to go out and get it. The first time she's like, hey, it's almost time. And you're like, oh, cool. And then I'll leave. And I'll buy booze and bring it back to the house. That's perfect.
What a great husband.
But actually having a home birth, I did have a little bubbly after my last one, which was...
Oh, did you have champagne afterward? I like how
Prosecco.
I like how every time you have like some disgusting, like horrible for you, delicious treat ready to go.
The last one wasn't horribly disgusting or bad for me, but it was. I was told that you need to find something to do while you're in labor. Like, if you sew or you knit, like maybe you could like knit a blanket. I don't know, however long it takes.
Or you could make something.
So I decided I was going to make brownies, and it was like a kind of healthy brownie mix. And by the time they were in the oven, I had to leave and my doula had to get them out for me so they wouldn't burn because I was already, like, it was happening. It was going very fast.
I just want to remind everybody listening and watching at home that you should be jealous, and I won the lottery. My wife was in labor baking brownies, then disappointed she had to take a break to go deliver a child. Pretty great.
Deliver the child.
Pretty great life.
I was like, please don't burn them. And then I made homemade whipped cream so that after I had the baby, I got in my bed, like, after, like, 30 minutes, got my brownie with my whipped cream, and I just... It was the best thing after, if you have a baby, like, the thing you eat after is, like, the best thing you've ever tasted.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what it is. You're starving.
It's just, you don't even realize you're hungry, but it's just, like, delicious.
Mm-hmm. What you got, Rachel? I think we're still, like, 10 and a half minutes in.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat.
We got one more fun fact.
Sorry.
This is a great story, though. But the only thing I can think of is there's a house in our neighborhood that has three turkeys in a cage in their backyard. And
see, that that is exactly the kind of fun fact that I got into this business for.
Okay. Yeah. So that seems strange.
We have 10 turkeys in a cage in our barn right now.
But they're tiny. Yeah, are these like turkeys. Big turkeys?
Yeah, they're like full-size turkeys. And Jonah and I take a walk almost every day. So when we walk by the house, without fail, every single time, they make their cute little turkey noise. And Jonah gets all excited and goes, hi, turkeys.
That's awesome. That's cool.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the turkeys. All right, so let's jump into some actual... I mean, I'm totally fine with spending the next hour just sort of bantering around ridiculous stories and stuff like that. But I do want to get a little bit into the heart of what I think the title lends itself to, right? Which is sort of marriage stuff, right? And so I'm thinking of, like, big picture questions to ask in general. And all of the questions I would ask someone who I've not been married to make me a lot more nervous to ask to somebody that I am married to. But we're going to go for it anyway. So open up to either one of you. After 14, right? You're both in year 14 of marriage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What has been the biggest surprise or some of the biggest surprises that you've had about marriage, good or bad?
Oh, boy.
And we'll use all the proper nouns. We'll say producer Julian what are some big surprises?
I think for me, you guys were really young too, but we all started dating when we were in college. So I think for me, it was just all the different phases and all of the different ways that he's changed since we started dating when he was 18, you know, because when you're 18,
you got a haircut.
Yeah, he's gotten one haircut. Yeah.
For context, it was down to here.
Beautiful curls, though.
They were
lovely. Yeah,
I'd say handsome, but that's, you know, it's okay.
No, they were pretty.
They were like ringlets. Yeah.
Yeah, gorgeous. Even
they were. Yeah. But besides the hair, obviously, an 18-year-old young man is going to be very different than a 30-something-year-old young man. So
poor guys. Their brains literally aren't even developed.
Exactly. So just going through all the different changes with him and seeing him develop good habits, bad habits, you know, quit bad habits, develop more good habits, and now that he joined the Air Force 2 years or a year after we started dating, so seeing him really grow when he was in the Air Force was, like, a really neat experience for me. But then just seeing him grow, when he got out of the Air Force, seeing him go back to school and then go back to school again and work hard to get through his undergraduate degree and then his law degree. And then also just seeing him grow in fatherhood as well. Things were kind of rocky when we first became parents.
Sure.
So just the transformation from when he first became a dad till now is like, it's like a 360 or a 180, I guess, not a 360. So I obviously there's been phases where it hasn't been that great. But it's also neat to be on the other side of it and see that, you know, we made it through the times that weren't that great, too.
And that's probably what I would say. And babe, feel free to chime in. It's you don't realize the ups and downs that like when you're 21 years old, 22 years old, you're getting married, right? You don't realize the ups and downs that are going to take place over your lives as you grow together, right? Mm-hmm. And I can understand, and this is in no way an insult to my wife. I think I've been guilty of this way more than she has. But I understand why someone who didn't understand marriage as it really is. Mm-hmm. I understand why the divorce rate's so high. I understand why people abandon their family. I really do get that. There were moments in our own marriage where I think I would be frustrated or angry or whatever. And if I didn't have the grace that came with the sacrament, and if I didn't have this understanding that, no, it doesn't matter. This is, I got to get over X, Y, or Z, right? Mm-hmm. Because I am sacramentally bound to this person until the day I die. I'm not saying that I would have walked away, but I can understand why some people make that decision, exactly. Right? Because unfortunately for all of us, we're broken human beings, both people in marriage.
Yeah, the person that you marry is, you know, 14 years in, like, you are very, very different. And to assume that, like, your spouse or the person that you marry is just going to be the same. First of all, I don't think you should be the same, you know, mm-hmm. like, there should be growth. And that is a really cool thing to see, especially when it's for the good. Mm-hmm. But it can also be, you know, it could be bad growth as well. And you just have to be able to navigate that, you know, with your spouse. And you may not always like them, mm-hmm. but, you know, just loving them the whole time, I think, is the most important thing. But we don't always like each other.
No, I like you right now.
I like you right now.
With kids, too, it echoes that.
A couple days ago. Like,
Yeah, that's right. We had a big fight the other day. with kids, too, I've seen that. And as our oldest, we've got our oldest is now a
guinea pig.
A guinea pig?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's been a guinea pig.
He's going to go into eighth grade. He's being an angsty teenage boy. Like, is kind of rightly ordered. That's what we do, right?
Pray for John Henry and I. We both have in that boat.
But going into, like, marriage, especially early on, when you have, you know, how do you not like an 18-month-old, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even when they're bad.
It's not really much parenting involved in that. It's just, like, taking care of a human being, which I feel like I do much better at than the stuff, the, like, emotional stuff later.
Yeah, but I'm in a position now where for the first time in my life, right, there's a human being other than you who I love unconditionally, but get really angry mm-hmm. at, mm-hmm. right? And I guess that was definitely been true with my parents or something when I was a kid, but it's a different kind of relationship, right? They're in an authority position, right? And you're not, the kids are not. And it's just, it's been strange to navigate that and realize how that works and how that feels. Like, I love you to death and I don't like you all the time, and that's okay. Like, that's,
yeah.
Yeah, it's allowed.
But it's normal. I feel like your answers were really good because I don't think I could, like, put it any differently. But you really don't know when you get married the kind of parent that your spouse is going to be. And you might, like, think about having kids, but then when you actually do, it may be very different. Like, you might have to change your, you know, idea of the kind of parent that your spouse is going to be. But it's been cool seeing John Henry grow as a father, and he has changed a lot as well. And just, you know, as the time passes and with every new child, it changes a little bit, but for the better in our family.
With every new girl.
With every new daughter who falls from heaven. What else? What are some other things that you were surprised by, once again, good or bad, from getting married? Y'all were, 22 when you got married? 20? Because, she's a year older than you, too, right?
She is, yeah.
I was 22.
Yeah.
Well,
we were 21. If we're talking about when we had our actual, like, Catholic wedding, then yes, I was 22. Were we both 22?
No, I was 21, actually.
Okay. Same. I was 22.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. So other surprises, other things you were surprised about. I mean, I don't know how marriage was sold to you guys when you were younger, but it wasn't presented very well to me, I don't think. And I'm not saying, like, my parents didn't set a good example of what a married couple looks like, but I definitely didn't have any idea what the heck I was getting myself into. Mm-hmm.
You had that perception of happily ever after that were sold on a lot of the movies, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it is, but that's a very simplistic way to put it, and it kind of sets up a false expectation.
But you have to work really hard for the happily ever after, too.
Well, I think I didn't ever really hear my parents fight, and that was good, but I think it might have set up an expectation of, like, oh, you're not supposed to fight, but, like, that's impossible. Yeah. So I think it's just what maybe their fights were all private, and I find sometimes we're angry with each other in front of the kids, and I don't like that as much, but I also don't think that our kids should think that we don't fight ever, and that they see that when we do fight, mm-hmm. like, we don't stay mad at each other. Mm-hmm. I think that's important for them to see.
Oh, my gosh. We're both, I will say this, really good apologizers. Like, if I can pat us on the back, I feel like
conflict,
we've done a pretty good job over the past 14 years.
Like, talk to me, please.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm a huge jerk, and I never should have done X, Y, and Z. Please forgive me. Okay. Like, it's been, I don't know, I think that's been good.
That's it? What?
I don't know. I'm much more, I forgive very easily.
Yeah.
You're a little bit harder to forgive, but not in little things.
Yeah.
And then you don't, like, carry that around for, like, weeks after. I don't know.
Any other big surprises? Because I want to get into some happier stuff here in a second. We're from producer Julian. You're welcome to share a big surprise. I've got a really cheesy big surprise.
Oh, you got a cheesy big surprise.
I want to hear the cheesy big surprise.
So I... Okay, you know that really cheesy Brad Paisley song? I thought I loved you then. You know that one, right?
You didn't know how much you were going to love me.
No, it's true. It's so true. Like, I didn't know what love that it was.
Like, you thought when we got married, that was, like, the pinnacle. Like,
that was the best.
And then it just kind of goes down after that.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of.
Like, yeah, I had this, I don't know, sort of false understanding. You know, the whole honeymoon phase, puppy dog, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you go through life. And like we keep saying, I don't want this episode to be depressing. Everybody, go out and get married. Get married way too young and have way more kids than you're supposed to. And it's going to be the best. Right? That's serious advice. But you just, I don't think I had any idea what it meant when I stood at the altar and said, like, I'm going to love and honor you all the days of my life. I'm going to die to myself for you. And I still don't think, I think in another 14 years, I think I'm going to look back at me right now and be like, look at this idiot who thinks he has any idea what he's doing. And then, you know, another 14 years after that, right? I can't wait, right, to be 88 years old and thinking about what a moron I was when I was 66 and thought I understood what love and marriage
were.
And
I think you also look back and you're like, you know, that was like your most attractive, and then
I mean, I like, would disagree. I think I aged really well.
Well, then somehow it fades as you get older.
Yeah, I lost my six pack about 10 years ago, but yeah, more regal now.
There you go.
Well, yeah, no, I do know what you mean. I do know what you mean.
I mean, that's definitely true. Like that the looks. That piece doesn't matter as much. Like you could love me more at 88, mm-hmm. old and gray.
All the growth, mm-hmm. all the experiences. Yeah, makes sense.
I think you're beautiful, Angie.
And especially tied together with like. Now. Thank you.
She said, "I think you're less."
No, I said, "I don't think you're less beautiful now."
Oh, you know, I got married. Think you're less beautiful.
No, here's a hot take. I think women don't become like beautiful till they're older. I think they can be very pretty. I think they can be very attractive, but I think beauty really shows up after they're women, right, as opposed to girls. Once they've kind of moved into adulthood, I think there's a,
yeah, when they're battle tested.
Yeah,
look at it. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just gonna use this. Keep flirting with my wife for that. Go ahead.
I think that's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
Of the episode, yeah. Well, that's why I said, "Riz up your wife." You know, I'm blocked by a light so that I can have my face seen on camera, but that's okay. I can do it. I know she's there. I had a thought or a story. So I just recently got into vinyls, right? And listening to vinyls, and it's great music. And I was at an estate sale, and there was a vinyl record that was about wasps. And I was like, oh, well, that's an interesting thing.
White Anglo-Saxon Protestants?
No, I think like wasp sounds.
Oh, okay.
Like, all right, this is cool. So I took it home and put it on the record player, and it wasn't working. I'm going, okay, what is going on here? And turns out it was on the B side. Mm-hmm. So you got to turn it over because all I heard was bees instead of wasps.
Oh.
But I bring that up because sometimes in marriage, you might just be on the wrong side.
Was that just a really long, bad joke?
A really bad, bad okay, joke. Right, sorry. With
your metaphor. Point. When he started it, I was like, we don't have a record player.
No. That was good. That was
yeah,
good.
No, thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, the B side because, you know, the wasp. But anyway, so I say that. I heard that joke the other day. It came in my dad joke, a little thing that I get, a daily dad joke on social media. Yeah. Long story into that feels like marriage a lot of times. That, hey, sometimes you're just not doing it right, and you just might be on the B side of the record, and you just got to flip it over. Yeah.
And I'll take this moment to give a shout out to producer Julian. I really encourage everybody to listen to his conversion story, which is excellent and gets into a lot of this stuff.
Oh yeah, I was definitely on the B side for sure.
Yeah, conversion. But it's beautiful, right? I mean, it sucks. Mm-hmm. I understand, right? That's got to suck to have, you know, those rocky kind of situations. And we've absolutely had rocky situations in our marriage. Mm-hmm. But once again, as Catholics, right, we recognize that this is not just I'm going to love and honor you as long as it makes me feel good. Or I'm going to love and honor you as long as stuff is happy, right? Because one
day... You're always nice to me, or you always are doing the right thing.
And one day, one of us, probably me, is going to be sick and old, and my back is going to permanently be out, and you're going to be changing my diapers, and it's going to be awful. And you're still going to love me, and it's going to be okay, right? Because we're not made for this world. I think one of the biggest... I don't know. Maybe this is too sappy. And I don't disagree with it because I don't disagree with any of the church's doctrinal teachings. Obviously, that's why I'm Catholic. I hate the fact that when one of us dies, we're no longer married. I think that's sad. I do. I wish we could be married in heaven.
Yeah.
I think it'd be that's the best thing in the world.
You stole that from Dr. Urbancic.
What?
You stole that from Dr. Urbancic.
Not.
Yes, you did.
What did Dr. Urbancic say that about?
Yeah, you told me one time in class. No, about his wife. He was sad that like. One day he wasn't going to be married to his wife, like, when one of them died.
I think he probably stole it from me, and I got the story back.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. I want to echo on the conversion side. So if there's a spouse out there who their spouse is kind of wrestling with sin or may need some conversion, may need some prayers, keep praying for them because on the other side of that conversion is almost a new honeymoon phase. I mean, we were like a new couple and kind of still are. We get excited to see each other. We're kind of gross sometimes with how cute we can be.
And this morning.
Yeah.
When we were at church, he kissed me in the stairwell. And he said sorry because we had a fight last night too. So he kissed me on the stairwell and said sorry. And then our 8-year-old son Logan was like, "Hey, why are you guys kissing me?"
Isn't that the best, grossing out your kids?
Right.
All right. Well, we do have to take a really quick break. We'll pick up right here where we left off, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
So we
okay, clap.
No. We're still rolling.
Rock and roll. Let's do it. I'll try to shy away from saying anything else controversial now that we're actually on air.
Yeah, now that we're actually on air. Yeah,
I don't even know. Did we talk about arranged marriage in the last episode?
No, we did not talk about arranged marriage.
I know I talked about it before.
It's not technically against the church,
no,
I don't think.
I unironically think that it is a positive good given the culture that we live in today. And I'm not saying that it's the best.
How about just trying to surround yourself with good families that you like so that it naturally
Once again, I'm not saying that's better, but I'm saying compared to sort of modern quote-unquote dating, obviously it would be better for society if parents arranged weddings, marriages for their kids.
Yeah.
I think so.
Culturally. But I would say that the Holy Spirit arranged my wife's a nice marriage, because the way that we met is just so bizarre. This tiny little college in Georgia.
I would agree.
She was from Connecticut. And, I mean, you two were from, what, I know you're South Georgia.
Yeah, I'm from here.
And boy, Maryland, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's Holy Spirit arranged marriage for my wife and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig that. So I want to get it. We talked about some things off, but look, can you mind kick us off? You said you had a fun wedding fact.
Yeah, sure. So, a little bit delayed of a fun fact, but does anybody know? I kind of do it like this now. Does anybody know why we kiss at the end of a marriage?
End of a wedding.
Because if you kiss at the end of a
wedding,
because if you kiss before, grave moral evil. That's a joke.
That's a good
true.
Guess. That's not true. Definitely not true. Yeah.
I mean, that'd be prudent in the.
Nobody knows.
Not like it didn't used to be people's first kiss.
It may have been, but that's not really the tradition. The tradition is that it was the way to seal the covenant as like a sealing of the contract. There was a kiss. It comes from ancient Rome. Yeah, so that was the way
like
they
pagan
sealed
Rome?
The. It may have been pagan Rome, but
that's fine. I'm okay with retconning cool pagan stuff and making them Christian now.
That's,
I think,
true.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, but I like it. It's like sealing a contract of somebody who studied law. Yeah, yeah.
That's fun.
Marriage is definitely a contract in ways, you know, covenant.
Let's keep that with marriage contracts, though. I don't want to have to, like, kiss my AC guy or anything when he comes.
Yeah. We'll keep it just with
those. That's a lame joke. Sorry. I'm not batting 1,000 today. All right. So we had one thing that came up off air, and I'd like to throw it out there. How did you know, or when did you know, that you were going to marry this person? The way it was phrased previously was, how did you know that they were the one? I've been on record multiple times saying, I don't believe in the one. The one's not a thing. I love you very much. I'd die for you 1,000 times, Angie. I'd burn this whole world down for you. I swear I would. That being said, both you or I could be married and successful and happy with somebody else if we had been married to someone else. That's possible, right?
Yeah, but compatible.
Yeah.
You can be compatible with lots of other people, I think.
Yeah, and I'm saying that not in any way to denigrate our marriage, but I don't want young people thinking that there's one person that God picked and that person's the only person in the world who you're going to be happy with. Because statistically speaking, they're probably living in China or India right now.
But I do feel like once we made the decision, I do feel like God's hand was...
Oh, totally.
Mm-hmm. In it, like 100%.
Yeah. Once the decision is made. Yeah, but how did you... Like, Rachel, what happened or when was the moment? Do you remember when you were like, I'm going to marry this dude?
If I'm being honest, I don't remember when I specifically knew I was going to marry him, but I do remember the moment where I knew I was in love with him, and I do remember the moment where I knew that I was supposed to date him.
You should totally tell us that story.
The story of when we started dating?
Well, no. When you knew that you loved him.
Oh, when I knew that I loved him. Yeah. I don't think you want me to tell that story.
No, just tell the story. It's fine.
It's fine. I'm ready. Let's go, girl.
I mean, it's inappropriate-ish, but...
Julian doesn't think it's inappropriate.
It's not that inappropriate.
Okay,
we can give a tiny bit of context. I was a little bit of a womanizer and a major flirt. We're talking about two different things.
I think we're talking about two different things. Uh-oh. Because the moment when I knew I wanted to date you was the whole thing with Katie.
Right.
That's not what I was talking about. I was talking about the moment I knew I was in love with you.
Okay.
Which was at your parents' house.
I see.
Do you know what I'm talking about now?
Yeah, I'm sure you can. You can do the PGP. G rated version.
It's not like okay. It's not sexual.
I've never been more curious about anything in my life. Please tell the story.
The moment when I knew I was in love with him, was it the prom party? Is that
yeah,
where it
we,
happened?
We did. We crashed.
We crashed his sister's friend's post prom party, which
awesome.
Was at a house in his parents' neighborhood
on our college spring break.
Yeah, we were on spring break in college. I was at his. I went to his parents' house with him for spring break, and I don't know why, but yeah, we crashed a high school post-prom party, and there was alcohol, and Julian got more drunk than every single person there.
As the college student, classy, yeah.
So that's why I said I don't know if you want me to tell the story, because I don't want to
And that's when you knew you were in love.
Not, well, not quite. Not the night that he was actually drunk. It was the next morning when I was taking care of him, and he was, like, you know, very vulnerable. Obviously, he was very intoxicated the night before, so he wasn't doing so great the next morning. So it was in, like, taking care of him and seeing him kind of in a vulnerable state and seeing him in a state where he needed to be taken care of, because we had only been together a month and I hadn't really seen him that vulnerable yet. So it was in that moment that I knew that I was in love with him, like, just the having to
that's
take
a
care
great
of him.
That's a good story. Yeah,
it's a cute story, but I just didn't know if I should talk about 18-year-old women drunk.
Everybody who's subscribed has heard my conversion
when
story.
When you were
if you
really,
haven't, you should.
Really, really drunk, pouring out your all your emotional feelings to me, that was very vulnerable,
that's
too.
That's when you
and
said,
think,
I'm going to have all of that guy's babies one
no,
day.
No, I was like...
Heck yeah.
I think I liked the vulnerability. It was a little bit scary because I was like, I don't know if I can trust this or, like, you know, because he was intoxicated. Maybe this is too much. Like, is any of this true? But there was vulnerability. And I did like seeing that more as we dated, because I think that you were a little bit afraid of opening up and being vulnerable, specifically like when it came to your spiritual life and us praying together and stuff like that. But I was always really, really nervous about sort of about finding the one, like, how would I know? And I will say that just praying prior to meeting you and then trying to pray together as a couple, it just... Like, and by the time you proposed, like, I didn't even have a doubt, like, about saying yes. But before I did, I was so worried, like, how will I know? Can I ever say yes to anybody? And, like,
am I just
be
blinded
totally...
by his beautiful body and smile and face? Or is there something deeper here? I understand, but...
I don't know. I mean... There seemed to be a piece, not about every single thing that happened throughout our whole relationship, but just a piece through it. And I guess the trust that we were trying to let God guide us, and that if it wasn't right, you know, it would dissolve. Mm-hmm. But it didn't. And so, yeah.
Well, that same story where I was slightly intoxicated on that balcony and trying to get you to kiss me.
Sorry, I just had, since you told your story, I was like, all right, John Henry.
I've talked about this before multiple times. I'm pretty public about this, right? It's part of the advice that I give to young women all the time, right? Because I had too much to drink. I was trying to kiss you. We had kind of sort of dated. That didn't work out. I was going back and not behaving as a virtuous young man should. And... you didn't say yes, right? Okay, great. Let's try this again. I'm going to fix you, right? Instead, you said, and I don't remember the exact verbiage, but it was what I heard was, I'm too good for you. Go fix yourself and then try again later. And that's my advice to girls all the time now is nice. Don't try to date to fix somebody, right? You don't rescue pit bulls for a living, right? You're not trying to take in this poor little pathetic broken thing and try to rehabilitate it. No. Let him man up, right? Let him actually grow a spinal column and fix himself. And then you're worth that, girl. Like,
I think
have him
I
come
wanted
back
to just, like, believe everything you were saying, but I was very skeptical. I mean, they were. It was great things, wonderful things that you were saying.
This was at school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like just like.
I proposed to her on that same balcony.
Yeah,
no,
like a year and a half later. Yeah.
That is so cute.
She said yes. I think it's gonna work out.
Why don't do you want to talk at all about the fruitful part?
Yeah.
Of marriage.
So actually, that's the next piece that I have is I want to talk about the best things about marriage. What fruit has your marriage borne?
I see you've been teaching her some Segway tips.
Excuse me.
Angie, yeah, she, growing up, living with me while I was attending the Harvard School for Segways, she's picked up a lot of the tips and tricks. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we're going
to... I just think that that's something that people would like to hear about, like, especially when it comes to... having kids, and is that, you know, is it hard being open to life? Is it easy being open to life? Like,
Well, let's start with Producer Julian. I kind of like this. I can ask Producer Julian questions.
Yeah, this is fun. What's up?
So, best parts, like the fruit that has been born of your marriage. Yeah. What is some of that?
Kind of just having a best friend to come home to every single night is incredible. We get to sit there and just chat or sit outside and once the kids are all going to bed and just having a friend that knows you so well and you can just talk about your day or talk about your dreams or aspirations and they're always there for you. That's probably the biggest thing. And not to like shift it away, but I did want to share that the moment that she fell in love with me was also the same moment that I fell in love with her.
And you were hungover being nursed back to health.
I just saw, I'm like, wow, aww. This woman is going to be such a great mother that something here I got to hold on to this. And so
she wasn't like, that's what you get for drinking so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But don't drink underage. We're not saying drink underage. Yeah.
Anything illegal that we mentioned on the show, we're all referencing. We did it in Minecraft. We were in Minecraft doing these things. Yeah. No, and just to piggyback off of that real quick. Yeah, you've heard this story before. It was after I had literal swine flu that I contracted in Europe and had brought back into the country, and you drove me home instead of back to the dorm, 4 hours away to my mom's house, where I had, like, fever dreams, sweating, and chills back and forth in a bed. Both ends, ladies and gentlemen. It was not great. And you were, like, hanging out with my mom, taking care of me. And in one of my fever dream moments of lucidity, I said to my mom, I'm going to marry her. Just so you know, I'm going to marry her. And she's just like, okay, I think that'd be a good idea. And I go back to bed.
And now we know where patient zero for swine flu came from.
It was me.
You looked terrible when you got off that plane.
Yeah.
Aww. I was like,
I just faked my way.
Where did you say you were?
I was in Ireland. Yeah.
Wait, y'all were dating?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, this sounds like good fruit, but okay.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Back to fruit. Fruit-born. Best parts.
Do you feel like you have to fight for that time? Because I feel like every time we try to be alone, our kids, like, even when we try to hug,
well, during the day,
our kids literally get in between us.
If we hug each other, they swarm us and try to weasel their way in.
Oh, yeah, though, like, we're talking across the room, like, usually Logan will, like, literally just get in between us so he can get either one of our attention. Yeah.
And it does not end well for him when he does that either.
Yeah. It has to be when the kids are in bed. Or if there's ever an opportunity, a rare opportunity where we don't have any kids.
But, right now.
Few and far between, for sure. Mm-hmm. Which is beautiful.
We're just like, everybody go have quiet time.
We'll sometimes aggressively kick them out of the room and be like, you cannot come in here. We are having quiet time.
We need to talk
to
each
outside.
Other.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you want your parents to have a good relationship? If our marriage fails, it's your fault. No, okay, we don't say that. We never say that.
It does come Angie, to answer your question, it comes with a sacrifice. We do have to kind of agree to stay up a little bit later than we should.
Yeah.
So that's the sacrifice. So you sacrifice for your loved one, and it's.
But it's not going to be like that forever. Your kids are only young for so long.
Okay. So that is the one big thing. Like, my answer for talking about fruit immediately goes to the answer that is so cheesy and so obviously true, which is children. Kids. Right? They're the best thing in the world. They drive me crazy. They actively shorten my lifespan, the health of my heart, my patience. I'm a bad father in so many ways. I fail all the time. And they're the best thing ever. And all these people, because there's a big movement now, right? The child-free stuff, and just people who culturally, like, don't ever want to have kids.
But they want dogs.
They do want dogs. It is such a tragedy to me because of how amazing these little people are. And I think it comes from a lie that you just dispensed with, right? That is, your kids don't stay kids forever. They're going to grow up. And if you do it right or just okay, right? They're going to become your older, like,
friends,
these young adults who love you and want to come home and be with you. And I cannot wait. I'm already seeing that with my kid who's 13 years old now, to where it used to be I would take him along to do X, Y, and Z because that's what you do. You're a good dad. I don't even pretend like I need some help with this or that. And he can tag along and make it take twice as long. But it's good because I'm a dad. I want to be a good dad. And now I'm like, what do you mean you don't want to go do this? Or what are you talking about? Like, I need you. What do you want me to go? Go kill a turkey by myself? Lame. Anyway. That's my cheesy and honest answer.
To piggyback on what you just said, and I know we wanted to talk about being open to life, and that's an important piece. I think one of the secrets to not getting at the end of your life and going, whoa, they grew up so fast, is having a lot of kids.
Yes. Yeah.
Because then you're kind of, you get to enjoy the young years for a long time. The people that I know that have grown older children that had two, it's, oh, it happened so fast. But those who have six, seven, they don't say that. They're like, oh, yeah, it was great. Well, and now we are on our own.
And by the time that the youngest is, like, out of the house, then your oldest is probably having kids.
Exactly.
And so the whole cycle, it's just beautiful. That whole, like,
well, if there's God always a baby forbid, around. This is our last baby, right? Then still, this baby will be born when Henry is in eighth grade.
13.
Right? 13 years old. There'll be a 13-year difference when he's, I mean, if he follows our trajectory, having his own children. This one will not even be in high school yet when those kids are already toddlers and 3 years old. It's just the best. It's just,
best.
And it is crazy to me how modernity, how we have somehow managed to trick people out of this very real desire to, one, be married, stay married, somebody else, and two, to have children. And I mean, everything that's tied up in that, from selfish things like, it's great, it's fun, it's whatever, to things like legacy and passing down truth. I don't know. Sorry,
well,
I
can pontificate all day. It is something that's, you're not going to have forever. You're not going to be able to, when you're, maybe, I mean, a man can, but when you're a 60-year-old woman, you can't say, oh, I wish I had had kids.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
you can't do that. And I think people don't, sometimes they don't realize what they're missing. And I've seen women, even just if they're able to have one, just they fall just so in love with this human being that they helped create. And it's so beautiful to see. And I just wish everybody could experience that.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to that. I'm always complaining. I think I've said this on the show like 8 times. Is it who's Fleetwood Mac? Is that Stevie Nicks?
I think so.
Yeah. I listened to an interview with her on the radio, and she was talking about how she was pro abortion, and how if she hadn't aborted her baby when she was however old, right, Fleetwood Mac wouldn't exist.
She wouldn't have her career.
And now she's like 70. Mm. She's in her 70s. She's unmarried, living in a giant mansion alone.
And
I guarantee
now.
You, right, if she were honest with herself, she would trade every dollar, every house, every everything to have that baby back.
Mm-hmm.
It's also really cool how, like, the love just keeps expanding, too.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the concept is just, like, amazing. Because, like, you know, you get married and you're, like, so in love.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you've never experienced that kind of love before. And then you have a child, and then it's this whole new
right?
love. It's, like,
you almost
can't,
like,
even put it in words.
It's almost scary to have another one because you're like, how could I possibly love another one? It's the overwhelming feeling that you have, like, at the beginning of, like, the second child. With every baby, you're like, can I love this one too? Like, as much as I love the other ones?
Yeah, exactly.
And,
but,
and
like,
you can.
It just expands. Like, your heart just expands because, I mean, I remember being pregnant with my first and now pregnant with my fourth. Like, I have all the same feelings that I did with my first, you know, even though I've done it so many times and, like, I'm used to things, I'm used to, like, what my body does and, like, what to be prepared for now, it's still, like, I haven't felt a kick in, like, 30 minutes, like, oh my gosh, is my baby okay? And, you know, then you feel the kick and it's just, like, the best thing ever, you know? And it's really, like, just so joyful to get to experience that. And also, like, just as cheesy as it sounds, it's just, like, the fact that, and I remember thinking this, especially when I was pregnant with our first, because Julian and I weren't together for a good chunk of my pregnancy with my first son. And I remember that was, like, the one thing that really tore me up inside when we weren't together, is, like literally we created a child, like, the person that I love more than anything in the world, we created this child together, and, like, I couldn't even, like, wrap my brain around that.
Right.
It was just, like, such an amazing concept to me, and I feel that with every pregnancy. And so just, like, knowing how your heart expands, like, every single time, and you just, like, find room in your heart for this new child, it's just amazing how you are able to love your children as much as you are.
That's beautiful.
And, like, why would you not want to just, like,
bring more people into the world that you can love that much.
It's just so fun. I mean, it is. I can pontificate all day about sort of philosophically why this is so good, but at the end of the day, it's just this beautifully, rightly ordered thing mm-hmm. that you get to be a part of. That's a pain in the butt, like 70% of the time. But, and that's great.
But what does the world tell us about having lots of children? How are you going to have enough money?
Right.
You know, and I know that I think we're all experiencing that in this room of like, whoa, how are we going to feed the, you know, how are we going to take care of the next meal? But that's really a big trust thing of, the, you know, God provides, you know.
100%.
Yeah.
Angie, I think you're the only one who didn't give us a fruit, one of the major fruits of your marriage.
Well,
it was your idea.
I keep talking about this.
Okay. We can do that too, man.
Well, because I was going to say that I think especially with the last two, so this is number six. So with the last two, I just feel especially grateful because prior to that, we had like three miscarriages and then an ectopic pregnancy. And I just know that I think, you know, with my first three or four, I just kind of took it for granted, you know, like got pregnant every 2 years. Like my body kind of naturally spaced it out. So I wasn't like, I mean, it was still overwhelming, but I wasn't like, didn't have a super small baby and then was pregnant again. So just having those losses too, I just feel so much more grateful and so much more appreciative because I know that it's not a given. And I know that this could be my last baby. I know that, you know, any of them could have been, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. And you can plan for a small family. You can definitely plan easier when you're using contraception and stuff. But as a Catholic,
which is great,
kind of leaving it up to God, and just trying to be faithful and trying to be open, you never know what that's going to mean. It might be two, it might be 10. And that's a little bit scary too, because mm-hmm. maybe you wanted more than two, maybe you wanted less than 10. Like, I find that that actually has been a very fruitful thing in our marriage. So
it's scary, but it's also like really cool at the same time.
Oh yeah.
Like,
oh yeah. Like just in the potential of like,
yeah,
like we could create like a life. And mm-hmm. this one wasn't exactly planned. It was actually kind of unexpected, because we had such a hard time having our fifth. Mm-hmm. I did not expect it to be easy having our sixth, and it just kind of happened. And you know, that can be overwhelming when you're not planning it. But
we can't figure out how it keeps happening
when you're trying to be open
your head.
Throughout your whole marriage. When you're open to it always being, you know, potentially something, then you're like, okay, well, I guess God really did want this child because mm-hmm. we were not, you know, we weren't trying.
Mm-hmm. So we've only got about 3 minutes left. Flies by, doesn't it? Isn't that crazy? That was an hour.
Yes.
And so I would love to go around real fast and say, let's pretend that we got a young couple right here, right, who's thinking about getting married. What kind of quick elevator advice would you give? I'll go first. Do you want me to go first while I get you on it?
Sure.
All right. My advice would be, if the person shares your faith, that they share your values, and if you are attracted to them, and I will say both physically as well as right emotionally, that's important, right? And they understand what marriage is, you should marry them. You should do it now. I mean, if you're not, this couple is not 15, right? They're 18, 19, 20, 21. Do it now. It doesn't matter if the world says that you're too young. Actually, take your vow seriously. Pay attention to what they mean. And if you can do that and say it, it's going to be crazy and rocky. And there's going to be ups and downs and goods and bads. But it's going to be so good. And just do it. Build that life together. Don't try to build two separate lives and then cram them together in marriage in a decade.
Yeah. And don't marry the idea of somebody. Marry the actual person as they are and as they could potentially be, because if you're marrying somebody and you think, oh, well, maybe one day mm-hmm. he'll do this and he'll be this and he'll treat me like this, then that might not ever happen. And then, you know, that will end in failure.
That was really good.
Thanks.
Don't marry the idea of somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of got it from you,
yeah.
What you were saying.
Cool. Rachel or Julian?
I would say probably the most important thing is never lose faith. Never give up. Surround yourself with good people, good community, and don't, unless it's not a very serious issue, do not seek advice from your family.
about marital issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That has caused a lot of problems in our marriage.
I think the community piece is one of the biggest ones ever, right? Mm-hmm. Plugging into a good community can be mm-hmm. huge, right? Because if you and your wife or you and your husband are on the same page, but you're surrounded by people who are not, you can't be an island. We need support.
Well, just think about if your whole dating relationship was like, all right, we're getting together and we're just partying like with these friends all the time, mm-hmm. instead of seeing like kind of what we saw, which was people really trying to get to know each other, and they were like, oh, let's go to mass together, and maybe the occasional thing, but it wasn't just like your friends are just right. in for, you're just hanging out with them just to party constantly.
Yeah. We got 1 minute left, Producer Julian. You got any parting advice for our friends here?
Especially for the men, be quick to say I'm sorry. Drop the ego and just be quick to say I'm
forget
sorry.
I refuse to let that be man advice. Girls, too. Yeah, you're right. Great advice, but I'm not...
has gotten much better at that over the past few years. Much better.
It's good.
Yeah. It's good advice, yeah. 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 Ladies, too. You're allowed to say I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not worth staying in a
place. I wish that we... Some advice that I wish we had taken was all the always kiss each other goodnight stuff. There have been multiple times in our marriage, and I've just been like, I'm going to bed mad.
I feel like I said that to you recently. I was like, that's not right. Like, we should...
Yeah, you said that to me about 48 hours
ago. There have been days that we have not even kissed one time in a day.
Well, make sure that you subscribe, and we'll do a whole live stream where we just kiss. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have today, guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.